Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joss takes over. The Blast Hamilton beats Rask glove side high.
Well, to be honest with you, it doesn't really feel like playoff hockey out there.
Carolina has tied the series with a 3-2 win in game two.
I'm not stressing too much about the results.
What?
Dale Arnold.
You want me to laugh right now?
Fighting for the starting quarterback job. Isn't that fun? Cam Newton does things way more superior than Tom Brady ever would.
Rich Keefe.
They're in deep water and turbulent water. And it's going to get rougher.
A rising tide moves all boats.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Puck Luck.
Chris Bosch.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
We are once again falling victim to recency bias, but it's what we do here in the sports world. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Once again, Andy Hart, WEEI.com, is in the house, and I'm happy to report that we did not drive Nick Cattles out of the business with yesterday's guest appearance, and he's back as well. Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
What's up?
How you doing?
Well, I don't know. I feel like I'm going to get ready to fight you, Dale.
Well, feel free. I mean, it's kind of what we do here, isn't it?
I've heard rumblings in the crossover that you may be defending the indefensible.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if it's indefensible.
Let's do this.
We'll see if it's indefensible. Bruins lose last night to the Carolina Hurricanes 3-2. Dougie Hamilton, former Bruin defenseman, gets the game-winning goal in the third period. Just a rocket shot past Tuukka's ear. And the Bruins played well at times, had a real brain fart for a period of time late in the second, going into the third. Then after the Hamilton goal, you know, played like they had a rocket up their butt, but just couldn't find a tying goal. And now this series is tied at one. And again, I didn't think this was going to end in four. I said Bruins would win in six. So that meant I thought they were going to lose a couple of games. So this doesn't exactly shock me, fellas.
I wouldn't say it shocks me. But I think some of the flipping of the switch momentum from a day earlier, where we chose to accentuate the positives of a victory and maybe look past some of the negatives.
Because that's what you do.
Oh, yeah.
That's you, Andy Hart,
yes.
Accentuating the positive.
Yep, you know me. I've built a reputation on it. I'm going to stick with it. No reason to change now. I think it sucked a little bit of the life out of that. And certainly, you know, the comment. We continue to talk about the atmosphere, the energy rolling from the round robin into this real series, and certainly Tuukka's comments that we're going to get into have ignited that talk. But I am not all in on the Bruins are all good right now.
You know, I said this yesterday, fellas, that flipping the switch was a little too strong for my liking. I didn't think we saw a flipping of the switch on Wednesday afternoon. I thought that the Bruins played better and they looked more like the team that we're used to watching. But last night, what bothered me was that second period. I just thought they got dominated for the most part in that second period by Carolina, and then they were inconsistent in the third. And the biggest thing that hurt this team last night was puck management. Sloppiness, carelessness with the puck. They were casual at times. I thought Torrey Krug was god-awful from the beginning of the second period until the late third period. I didn't think Carlo played necessarily well either. Krejci was great. But on the go-ahead goal for Carolina, I don't know what Krejci was doing. It was sloppy. It was careless. And they've got to clean some things up. We talked about it yesterday. It wasn't the end-all, be-all on Wednesday for me. And last night, they proved that.
Well, let's talk Tuukka, because he's the lightning rod. And he's a lightning rod in this town anyway.
Yes.
There are people who like Tuukka. There's a large portion of Bruins fandom that just can't stand Tuukka. I'm convinced that many times they can't stand Tuukka more for what he says than what he does.
Ding, ding, ding.
And last night was an example. We played a little clip in the open. You heard there in the open. And it's the, as I said to Greg Hill, we're a soundbite society. It's the soundbite that got pulled out by everybody. And everybody started pointing fingers at Tuukka because of the soundbite that you heard in the open today.
Well, to be honest with you, it doesn't really feel like playoff hockey out there. There's no fans, so it's kind of like playing an exhibition game. Obviously, you know, there's some scrums after whistles, and I haven't noticed anything that they would be targeting me or whatnot. You know, it's, things happen, people fall on you and whatnot, but, you know, it's definitely not a playoff atmosphere out there.
So the question that he was answering, and you guys all know this, I don't have to explain to you, but for fans who don't understand, all of the post-game media sessions are now Zoom sessions. And, you know, the media guy for the Bruins will say, okay, Kevin Paul DuPont, you're next. He'll unmute his microphone. He'll ask a question. The question that you just heard Tuukka answer was from Matt Porter of the Boston Globe. And what he asked specifically, because it seemed as though Tuukka had been banged into a couple of times, run into a couple of times. There was a goaltender interference call that negated a goal.
Right.
And Matt Porter said, is Carolina taking extra liberties with you? Or is that just part of playoff hockey? Now, listen to the response again. Now, keeping in mind what the question was, is Carolina taking extra liberties with you, or is that just part of playoff hockey?
Well, to be honest with you, it doesn't really feel like playoff hockey out there. There's no fans, so it's kind of like playing an exhibition game. Obviously, you know, there's some scrums after whistles, and I haven't noticed anything that they would be targeting me or whatnot. You know, it's, things happen, people fall on you and whatnot, but, you know, it's definitely not a playoff atmosphere out there.
Which did not bother me in the least. That comment's not the one that has me concerned.
I know. We'll get to the other one, too.
But the environment is what it is, and
right.
we've talked about that for weeks with various guests, you know, Mike Milbury or whoever. You know, what's it going to be like without fans, the environment, how's that going to change the game? And everybody said, yes, that will have an effect. There is not energy. There's no home crowd. Now we can get into let's just say Tuukka, I don't know, taking things seriously?
So here's the second part of the answer. And again, not all of the answer gets played because we're a soundbite society. Tuukka later on, now he's at the podium with Brandon Carlo, Bruins defenseman, and he took it a step further in the next part of the answer.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you're trying to play as hard as you can. And obviously, you know, you're playing a best of seven series, so there's going to be some battles going on and whatnot, but you know, when you play it in your home rink, you play in a away rink, and there's fans cheering for you or against you, and that creates another, you know, buzz around the series. So there's none of that. So it just feels like dull at times. You know, there's moments that, you know, okay, there's little scrums and whatnot, but then there might be 5 minutes, and it's just coast-to-coast hockey, and there's no atmosphere. So it just feels like an exhibition game. So, but, you know, we're trying our best to kind of ramp up and get energized and make it feel like a playoff game.
Okay. Still have no problem with what he said.
I know. And
again, I'm going to have a problem soon.
I'm trying to give the context. We talked about it last night, and I heard Andrew Raycroft this morning on the Greg Hill Show, and he said, you know, normally what would happen is Carolina wins last night's game. They tie the series one win apiece. Now, they'd be going home to their rink for game three, and the place would be rocking, and it would be jumping, and fans would be hanging off the ceiling and all that stuff. And that's kind of what Tuukka was talking about. You know, there's no, when you play at your home rink, you play off the crowd. You go to an away rink and they're all screaming at you and you play off the crowd. And that part's missing. Now, he's not saying anything controversial there, is he?
No.
And quite frankly, it's ironic in some respects because we hate it. And the Patriots players are the kings of this. We hate it when players or coaches just give us cliche speak. And yet when a player tells you, like here, you know, it's not the same. It feels like an exhibition game. Now we're going to rip them.
Yeah, but these comments are not what people want to rip. I think these, without the next soundbite that we're going to play, people would look past. But it's the question as to how invested Tuukka is in this series that fans are watching. That's the question.
All right, Shime, if you got that one, let that one rip as well.
Well, I mean, considering I had 4 months off, so... I mean, not in prime shape, but you know, trying to get there. Just trying. I'm just trying to have fun and you know, play the game. I'm not stressing too much about the results and whatnot. You know, it's August and haven't played hockey forever, so just go out there, have fun, and see what happens for me.
Mr. Jacobs on line one, he'd like to discuss your contract. Because I believe, Tuca, you're paid to, quote, stress about the results and what's not.
Now, again, context is king, thanks to Eric Bischoff. The question that he was answering there came from Kevin Paul DuPont. It was specifically about, you know, Tuca's hip flexors and, you know, trying to bounce back into, you know, real hockey after several months off and goaltenders. You know, you can do all you can do when you're off on the pandemic break, but you can't quite do hockey stuff. And he was talking about, you know, I've had 4.5 months off, so I'm trying to get back into, you know, hockey playing shape and things like that. I know you've taken it that he doesn't really care.
I just listened to his
words. And I didn't take
it
that way.
But I just listened to his words. He's not stressing about the results. You should be stressing about the results. And I know you've sort of talked about his Zen-like changes and all of that. If I'm a teammate, I'm upset with him. If I'm the owner, I'm upset with him. If I'm his coach, I'm upset with him. And if I'm a fan, I'm upset with him. I don't know whether he was too honest, too dumb. I don't know how to describe the comments. But these are not the types of things you admit after a Stanley Cup. The calendar is irrelevant, Tuca. I don't care that it's August. You're in the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is not Tom Brady, first week of August in, you know, 2014. You know, it's August. We're just trying to work things through here. Not really worried about the results. Okay, that's fine. Stanley Cup playoffs. How can you not worry about the results and, quote, whatnot?
All right, let me jump in. Because when I listened to this, first of all, was it a dumb thing to be said? Sure, it wasn't the best thing to say after a playoff game. I think we
after a playoff loss, especially.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that. I'm a bottom line guy, right? And the bottom line to me is, Andy, I know you're worked up about these comments. And again, I understand why listeners are worked up by the comments. It wasn't a smart thing to say. However, what's the next step? What is the next step to that logic? Is he going to play worse because of what he said last night? That's what I care about. Like, we can sit here and we can talk about semantics. We can talk about what question was asked and maybe 1, 2, 5, 10 words Tuca should not have used during the post-game press conference. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, what matters is what does the guy do when he gets on the ice? What he said last night, yeah, it wasn't the greatest quote of all time, and it's going to work people up. But does that mean that tomorrow afternoon, when they drop the puck, he's going to suck because he said, I'm not worried about the results? Because you know what? He might say he's not worried about the results. I am worried about the results. And as long as he goes out there and plays good hockey tomorrow and that team wins, then that's all that matters. All of this is just noise. All of it is a distraction. It's what he does when he goes out there.
Okay, so I don't ever want to hear anybody praise, you know, the shooter who goes 1-for-17 and after the game he's in the gym and then the next night he goes, you know, 15 of 20 shooting. Wow, he put in the extra work. You saw it paid off. You see how much he cares. Don't ever praise that.
Different, Andy.
Of course it's different.
Different.
Of course it's different.
No,
we're in Tuca defense mode.
No, you're talking about somebody putting in actual work. What does
right.
that? You're talking about actions versus words, Andy. There's a difference. If somebody is not happy after a post game and he goes into the gym and he works his ass off and then the next night he plays great, that's different than what he said. Actions versus words. If Tuca went to the ice last night, which he's not going to do because it's a bubble, and take shots against him out there between the pipes, and then he goes out there on tomorrow afternoon and plays great, then yes, I would say the same thing. You're talking words. I'm talking actions.
Usually they go hand in hand. I mean, I find it hard to believe he's not worried about the results.
They don't always go hand in hand.
Stressing about the results.
Are you telling me?
So you think he's not stressing, but he's going to work harder?
So when Manny
Ramirez, if he's not worried about it, why would he work harder?
Guys, let me just go back to something I told you yesterday, and I'll repeat for people who weren't tuned in yesterday. This is a conscious effort on his part. When he first became a professional in the Bruins organization, acquired from the Toronto Maple Leafs for Andrew Raycroft, actually, he's in Providence playing. He's a 19-year-old kid, and he is an emotional wreck. He's smashing sticks. He's throwing stuff on the ice. He's throwing temper tantrums. And he learned, and coaches also taught him, you can't play at this level if you're like that. You've got to calm yourself down. This position, more than any other, you've got to, and I'll use the word zen because you used it, Andy. You've almost got to be a little zen-like to be calm when all of the stuff is going on around you. So he has specifically and trained very hard to say, listen, I got to go out there and work hard and play my best, but I can't stress about stuff I can't control. The two last goals that he gave up last night, Was any goaltender in the NHL going to stop either of those?
No.
Svechnikov down the slot alone because the defense lost who was where, and the Dougie Hamilton stepped into slap shot. So he can't get all emotional and get pissed off. He's got to say, look, I got to play my best. I got to do what I can do. We lost, but I can't stress about that part.
But does he care?
Absolutely, positively.
Because he articulated a viewpoint that leads people to think he doesn't care, right?
All right, so I'll go back to Manny Ramirez, right? When Manny said, why panic? If we don't do it, we'll come back next year and try again, right? That was something Manny said a long time ago. People lost their minds, right? It was, oh, my God, I can't believe Manny looks at it that way. It's the American League Championship Series, and how can he say that? Listen, people are individuals. Again, I'm not defending what he said. Was what he said silly? Does it look bad? Absolutely. Do I sit there and
he
say
he doesn't
fans,
think that part through, by the way. He doesn't think through, well, how are the fans back in Boston going to take this?
Right.
He just, I mean, I hate to say this, he's one of those athletes who tells you what he thinks.
Right. Unfortunately, it creates a distraction, right?
My point is this. If he goes out there and he plays, then who cares what he says? Who cares? Who cares if Tuukka jumps out of bed and goes, I can't wait for this game tonight, and puts his head through a wall? Fans love the idea of the guy who flips over the table after a loss. Not every single person is made that way. Not every single person works that way. We know all individuals in our lives. Some things make people tick. Other people don't tick that way. So am I going to sit here and say, oh, I wish Tuukka was the fiery guy?
Nope.
Yeah, it'd be better. Optically, it'd be fun to see a guy go out there and say, I can't believe we just lost that game, and be all angry. But ultimately, what matters is how he plays. And I don't think what he said last night is going to affect the team. That doesn't give enough credit to the leaders of this team, right? If Tuukka's out there and says something, all of a sudden, you know, it's going to be a fragile mentality from the Bruins. Give me a freaking break. The team's full of veterans. So I'm not worried about that. And secondly, if it does not affect the guy's performance, then ultimately, what are we doing? Because we're here to talk about this team winning or losing this series against Carolina.
I don't know if it affects his performance. I don't know if he cared more, if he, quote, stressed about the results.
He's been the same guy. He's been the same guy his whole career. Did it bother him
right
when he's putting up a Vezina-like season this year? I mean, he's one of the best goalies in the league.
And one of the complaints is that he doesn't shine in the biggest moments, correct?
Well, that complaint's wrong. Look at what he does in the playoffs. Look
right,
at what
so,
he's done
they
in the
lost
playoffs.
Last night.
All right,
I
so
actually
back,
think the
go
funny
back
part,
to last night. Did Was that his problem?
No, I think the funny part here is his better game, they lost. I think he
and
had
think
soft goals
kind,
and a win.
I think that's kind of his point. You're actually kind of making his point.
What?
That he can't stress about the fact that they lost. What he has to concentrate on is playing well.
Okay. Well, he's just going to go out there and have fun either way, so.
I don't think he has fun when they lose. He's saying, well, you know,
just
you want
to have
fun.
Have
you
fun.
You want to play well. You want to do the best you can. And he, the fact that they lost last night, he can't go back in his hotel room at Hotel X in Toronto and mope for a day and a half.
Too bad we lost.
Okay.
He's got to put it behind him.
Well, he doesn't have to. I mean, that's where I agree with Nick. People digest these things differently. They compartmentalize differently. But to actually verbalize at a post-loss Stanley Cup playoff press conference that he's not stressing about the results and he's just trying to have fun and play the game like he's some, you know, 10-year-old little leaguer learning sportsmanship, I just, that does not sit well with anyone. And I don't think it sits well with teammates. Now, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I saw some of Brad Marchand's comments. Oh, I think he was talking about the round robin and some day. Like, he tried to backtrack a little.
He more or less said there were exhibition games.
Do we think that his teammates don't understand who he is? Like, we honestly think that Brad Marchand listens to that quote last night and he loses his mind, or somebody else on the team? These guys know Tuukka better than anybody knows Tuukka. They know what he's going to say. They know how he reacts to wins and how he reacts to losses. Listen, I'm not defending what he said. I'll say it again. I don't think it was smart to say. My point is, if that's how he handles it, and that's how he looks at things, and as you said, Andy, that's how he compartmentalizes things, then if he's still playing well, then who cares how he processes things? Because he's not checking everybody's box? I'm trying to draw the line between, you know, not defending what he had to say, because I don't think it was the smartest thing in the world to say, but also, you know, let's try to focus on what is truly important and understand that this is how the guy has been. and it's never, ever gotten in the way of his play or his performance.
Well, we don't
and
know that.
Up, well, to back
we don't
up
know that he couldn't be better if he cared more.
How much better do you want? I mean, I guess right? you could
he's,
say.
He's
I guess
won
you
a
could
Vezina,
say
he's a Vezina finalist.
Like, these
this
are
year.
Things that are tough to argue, and I'm going to make a simple comparison. The most important thing for Tom Brady was every rep, 365 days a year, and we talked about how he worked
until
so
it
hard.
Wasn't until it wasn't all that important to
until
him
it wasn't right. And then you try to make direct connects. Did Tom Brady's play slip a year ago? Did we can't we don't know.
But
he
there was,
didn't go to OTAs and he didn't have a good year. We have facts on a timeline, but to directly tie them together, we can't. Just like I can't tell you Rask would be better if he cared more and didn't articulate these types of feelings.
All right, you got to hold the thought for a minute because we're late. And I know you guys want to keep going and I want to keep going, but we have
see, I care today. About this show, Dale. I care about the results.
And I don't.
And
yeah,
you
you're
don't.
Right. I
you
don't give a damn.
You're just here to have fun. It's August, and you haven't done radio in a while.
Good. Yeah, since yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Bruins fans will weigh in right after we take a break in trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Andy Hart is in with Dale and Keefe every Friday on WEEI.
As for Pasta, he was questionable from the game yesterday afternoon, this morning, and he was getting treatment, unfit to participate. We don't believe it'll be long term, Kevin. That's a day-to-day thing, we hope. So obviously targeting Saturday at noon, but until we see him tomorrow, and a tough Saturday noon because it's tough to test that, you know, get out skating in a morning skate type of thing. So it'll probably be right down to the game time again on Saturday.
That was Bruce Cassidy last night after the game. He was talking about David Pastrnak. And I promise we're going to get right back to Tuukka and all of that stuff. But just to put a bow on the Pastrnak thing. On Nesson last night, we showed video footage as Patrice Bergeron scored the game-winning goal in double overtime a couple of days ago. You saw Pastrnak, who had made the incredible pass to Bergeron. He made a very tiny little jump for joy there at the side of the net. And it was clear as he went over to the celebration that he was hurting. We did not suggest on Nesson. In fact, we do not think that he hurt himself jumping 6 inches off the ice to celebrate Bergeron's goal. He didn't practice on Monday. He was unable to practice. He did do the morning skate before what was supposed to be the game on Tuesday. We get a feeling, and just, you know, reading the tea leaves here, he's been fighting something for a little while now.
Right. I liked what your boy Raycroft said, that this is one of those things that, you know, you have an injury, but in the heat of any moment, or I think he used the example, jump out of bed in the morning because you got scared and then remember you have a bad back from the day before. Like, that, yeah, this happens. This isn't was it Martin Gramatica, the kicker who tore his ACL after kicking the field
goal? That's not what happened with David Pastrnak. And all we were trying to show when we showed the video on Nesson last night was it was clear with that footage he was hurting.
Yeah.
And that there was something going on. We did not suggest that he hurt himself celebrating Patrice Bergeron's goal. In fact, we were kind of half joking about he got as far off the ice as I would for crying out loud, which ain't far, by the way. You know, normally the celebration would be much more exuberant, but he was hurting at that point. All right, back to the whole Tuca thing, because Cattles wants to light Andy up, and I'm all for that.
Ding, ding.
The Brady comparison, I think, is just not a good one. Andy, you were talking about how, you know, Brady, and he was a guy who was always fiery, and then, you know, he started to mope a little bit, and it affected the team. Number one, I would not compare Tuca to Brady. Not saying that that's precisely what you're doing, but I would not make that comparison. I would say that not everyone is Brady, which goes to my point that these are individuals. We tend to put everybody together as the team and think that it's all great and hunky-dory and that everybody shares the same brain. They don't. There are different individuals on the team, and not everybody is Brady. Secondly, Andy, the problem is this. Brady was inconsistent. That was the problem. Brady was consistent through the first 18 years of his career in New England. Then he changed. That was the problem. It wasn't that Brady wasn't as fiery or anything like that. It was that there was a clear difference. The line of demarcation from the first 17, 18 years of his career as a Patriot to the last two, it was obvious to everybody watching. What I'm talking about is Tuca actually being consistent. Whether you like it or not with what he said, he's going to be consistent. That's been the guy he's always been. There wasn't some dramatic change outside of, you know, he realized when he was in Providence that losing his mind all the time probably wasn't the greatest thing. And when he made that change, and to him, I'm sure, became more mentally mature in his own brain, he looks at it and says, well, since I made that change, all I've done is become one of the best goalies in the NHL, which is a fact. He's been one of the best goalies in the NHL through the last several years. So, again, it's not affecting his performance. He's been consistent.
You can't say that. You can't definitively say it's not affecting his performance.
No, but you also can't say it is.
No. Oh, I agree, 100%. I mean,
okay,
what are we doing here?
We're going down
the road of Derek Jeter clutch factor.
So
that's
just
the road
that
we're going down, is that you don't know he wouldn't be better if he did care about the results and whatnot.
Let me ask you this.
No, stop. Nobody said he didn't care about the results.
What did he say?
What he's saying is he has to control what he can control, which is his effort, his performance. And last night, as a prime example, was it Tuukka Rask's fault they lost the game?
No.
So if he sits and loses his bleep because of that, because we lost the game, he can't then get himself in a proper position to play again Saturday afternoon.
Okay. I mean, if we in this business react to comments made by coaches, athletes, GMs, correct? Because otherwise, if we're just going to ignore his comments, then we can move on. That's fine.
We're not ignoring
his comments. But when he says things like, he doesn't stress much about the results, just trying to have fun and play the game, just go out there and have fun and see what happens.
Andy,
okay, see what happens.
Andy,
I thought you were trying to win.
We're reacting. You're correlating what he said last night to the end result. I don't do that. You can do that. Other people can do that. You can do whatever the hell you want to do, Andy.
Thanks.
Hart.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem
for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Except wear your mask.
Got the Nick. I mean,
you have your opinion. Everybody has their opinions, right? What you're doing is you're saying the line you're trying to draw right now is because of the way he handled the post-game press conference, that's going to make him not as good of a goalie. I'm not drawing that line.
No, you're, in fact, erasing that line. That motivation, mental, don't matter.
Let me ask you this, and maybe this will help clear up the
disagreement. So, Kobe Bryant, we've spent, real quick,
Wait a minute, Andy, I didn't get the point.
Okay, I'll just let you guys beat up on me because you agree. Let's defend Tuca for 4 hours and not have a counterpoint.
How do you think
good radio.
How do you think Tuca plays in the game?
Oh, we're going to play radio. I didn't know we were playing radio. Okay. Am I not supposed to be honest? I got to play radio?
How do you think Tuca plays during the game? Is he competitive? Does he try hard? Does he work hard? When the game is going on, how do you think he plays?
I think, yes, he competes.
And isn't that the point here? Does he work hard?
I don't know.
He's competitive.
Could he compete more?
Compete more.
What
do you want, Andy? What do you want him to do?
We've spent a year praising the greatest athlete in terms of competitive nature in the history of sports, from what I've heard. Because when Kobe Bryant died, it became universal. Bill Bell, everybody, right? Mamba time, like nobody competed like him. Nobody worked harder, right? So when Derek Jeter has clutch factor, when Kobe Bryant competes like no one else, we say that matters. There's a direct connection between that and the success level.
Was
Hall of Famer winning, right?
So
we erase that line when it's not convenient to us when we're defending Tupac.
We're not erasing the line. We're not erasing the line, Andy. Again, I said it last segment. There's actions, there's words. I go off of how the guy acts when he's on the ice. I go off of performance. How good was Manny Ramirez? Manny Ramirez was one of the best hitters we've ever seen from the right side of the dish, right?
Sure.
One of the best. He handled himself in a similar way as Tuca. As a matter of fact, I would say Manny was even more careless on the field at times, especially when he was playing defense.
Agreed.
He was careless, right?
Agreed.
But what mattered to people, Andy? What mattered was what the guy did on the field. Did he hit? Was he clutch? Yes.
Right.
And people tend to look at this and say, well, Tuca hasn't been great in the playoffs. I disagree with that notion. You can go read plenty of articles that tell you, and you can look at the numbers, that Tuca has been one of the better goaltenders in the playoffs for the last several years, okay? And we always tend to blame the meltdown, quote-unquote, on Tuca. I'll give you an example. Why'd they lose last night? People that have been conditioned to hate Tuca or dislike him and think that what he said last night affected his play, those people that have been conditioned will look at last night and say, well, Tuca couldn't stop that Hamilton shot. I know the defense. I know Krejci gave it up in the defensive zone. I know their puck management sucked for two periods, but Tuca couldn't stop that laser that went by his ear. Come on, man. That's the kind of shot that your goalie, your top goalie, your Vezina winner needs to make. No, it's not. That's on Krejci. That's on the players on the ice. So we can look at it and say, oh, how many goals did they score against Tuca that night? And, oh, he had a 3-0 lead in that series. Okay, so now we're going to try to make it like Tuca's the only guy on the ice.
Nobody's the goalie. Can we make that? Yes, that he's the most important guy on the ice?
Yes, we can. But
just like the quarterback?
But yes, we can. But
Peyton Manning, when he loses, whether Peyton Manning was the reason they lost or not, Peyton Manning was a loser.
But Andy,
Tom Brady was a winner, whether he was the reason whether they won or not, he's a winner.
But if you lose, if Peyton Manning throws a pick in a big moment because his left tackle was a turnstile and Manning has to get rid of it under pressure, there's a difference.
Sure.
People might not want to look at that. What I'm saying is last night, Tuca's left tackle was a turnstile multiple times, which left him in a position to not succeed. So when we look at this, has he been flawless? No, he hasn't been flawless. This is the black or white argument we get into all the time with this guy. He wasn't flawless last night, okay? He wasn't flawless in game one when he gave up a soft goal to start that game. I'm not saying that he's not responsible for any of the playoff losses this team has had, and he's not responsible for being soft at times and giving up soft goals. What I'm saying is, when you look at his resume from beginning to right now, he's been one of the best goalies in the league, bar none. And you can try to disagree with that, but there's nothing. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. And when you look at the numbers and what Tuca's done, he's been one of the best goalies in the league. That's it. And so what he says to me doesn't matter as much. If he was out there sucking pond water last night, then I'd have a bigger issue with it. But he wasn't. He was out there and he played, I thought, relatively well. I thought he was pretty good in game one. And I think he's been great this year. I couldn't care less with him saying that the results in losing, you know, the results itself don't bother him. I tend to agree with Dale and other people that look at this and say, he's looking at the results and he's saying, well, I have no control over that. We lost the game. If I go back and I sit here and I think about, wow, we just lost game two, we just lost game two, that's not going to make me better for game three. We talk about flipping the switch. He's flipping the switch in his head. And that might not, you know, people might not like that. They might say, oh, he's not taking it more serious. He needs to take it more serious. But, you know, some people don't handle it that way. Some people say, well, that sucked. We lost. Not worried about it. Because, hey, that wasn't game seven of the series. I'm going to be able to look for game three on Saturday.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Maria's in Watertown. Hi, Maria.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Great.
God, this is like exhausting trying to continue to defend Tuca, and it is. It's
I
exhausting,
agree.
And I have been one of his defenders. But honest to God, look, I understand. Last night the Bruins were a defensive hot mess. Seam passes, that shouldn't have been thrown. Brandon Carlo, you know, clearing the puck along the wall where there's, like, you know, a bunch of Carolina Hurricanes waiting for it. Drop passes when – look, they were a hot mess. However, when you started this foray into the playoffs and the Bruins already had a cavalier approach to the first four games, and now you have your Vezina-nominated goalie, who, by the way, is a lightning rod in this city. He knows the optics. He should know the optics by now. I would rather have him say nothing. Say, yes, defensively, we stunk. I need to be better. We all need to be better. We're moving on to the next game. But when you make those comments, in context or out of context, the optics are bad. Bad, bad, bad. And you can't tell me that Cam Neely isn't reading and hearing that and saying to himself, what the bleep?
I got to be honest with you, Maria. Bleep. Cam Neely, Bruce Cassidy, every player in the room, they know exactly who Tuukka is. They know exactly how he operates. There's no surprise with what he said last night. We'll get to more calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart and Cattle Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keith on WEEI.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Bruins lose last night 3-2 to the Carolina Hurricanes. And yet, everything is revolving around what Tuukka said after the game. Not even necessarily how he played during the game, but what he said after the game. And that is often the case with him. Back to the calls with you guys. Jeff is in Northampton. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Dale, I agree with your comment that Tuukka's sports psychology training is showing. It really shows in his interviews always. It's so much more overt seeming than other players. But the one thing, and he's not the reason they lost, on Dougie's goal, could he have been higher in the crease and come out to play that and play a better angle, maybe hit his shoulder? And also on Semenchnikov's, whatever his name is, goal, he was pretty deep in the goal. And we all know goalies get in trouble when they're too deep in the goal and when they get out of position, too. I don't know if he could have stopped that shot. I think he should have come out higher to play us, though, on a shot from the point.
Yeah, I think, and I understand your point, Jeff. I think the problem was it was the turnover on the boards that led to Svechnikov being left alone in front, and I don't think Tuukka had time enough to come out at that point. I mean, it was a bad play, not by Tuukka, but I'm saying by the whole team. Same thing on the Hamilton goal. You know, the pass from behind the net by Nechas. I mean, that's one of those shots that hockey players, just as Billy said last night, they salivate thinking about this. Lay it on a platter for me and let me skate into it and just put everything I got into it. And I'm about 20 feet in front of the goaltender. Yeesh. I'm not sure positioning was the problem, fellas. And look, it gets back to everything about Tuukka. Goaltenders always get the blame. I understand it. It's funny, in baseball, players don't get the blame. The manager gets the blame. It's always the manager in this town. And yet, in hockey, it's the goaltender.
Yeah.
In football, in a lot of places, it's the quarterback. It hasn't been here for a long time. Even when they lost, even when he didn't play well, it was never his fault.
Right. We spent last year talking about the weapons and the offensive line and all these various excuses for the quarterback. But yeah, it's the nature of the position. Now, the caller brought up sports psychology. And I think that's an interesting maybe subplot to this. Dale, going all the way back to Providence and Tuukka. And I don't know exactly how that came about, if there was sports psychology. But I also think if you're going to go that deep...
The Bruins do have one, yes.
Right. But if you're going to go that deep, Well, then that depth should include creating these issues, right? He can think one way. There was no one that forced him to articulate it, right?
Right.
Like, he chose to express these thoughts.
He chose to be honest, and we don't like that.
Well,
unless honesty is what we want him to say.
But I would say if you're so thoughtful, you also have to be aware of how some of these things are going to resonate. I mean, he learned the lesson about the diapers, right? The diaper thing rubbed people the wrong way and created a little minor talking point or firestorm, whatever you want to call it. So if you're going to be that thoughtful, well, then be that thoughtful.
Yeah, I think, listen, a lot of people, as soon as you try to say what I've been trying to say here, which I don't think it will ultimately affect his performance one way or the other, people, again, they try to run with that and say, well, why are you defending what he said? I'm not defending what he said. Again, what he said last night.
No, it'd be a lot easier if he didn't.
Yeah, exactly. What he said last night was not smart. Well, you know, what he said last night, the caller mentioned, you know, last segment, bad optics, terrible optics. Okay, great. I also enjoyed the caller literally giving us the script that she wanted Tuca to go off of. That's convenient, of course. I mean, sometimes we have to allow athletes to react the way they naturally react. Now, we can agree or disagree on what they have to say, but, you know, I just think that athletes need to be who they are to perform at the highest level. They need to be comfortable in their own skin. And Tuca strikes me as somebody who is extremely comfortable in his own skin. Whether you like it or not, he's going to say what he's going to say, and then he's going to move on. In the way that he handled the press conference last night, don't we realize, like, what he had to say? People look at it and go, oh, well, he didn't care about the results. But yet we think he's going to care about what he said last night? How does that even add up? It doesn't. The biggest problem is whether or not the rest of the team follows along. And I don't think that's going to happen. If you told me that Tuca, like Andy's Tom Brady comparison, you know, if Tuca had the kind of voice in that dressing room that Brady had in the locker room, and guys might follow Tuca, I'd be more concerned. But I think the guys in the locker room, in the dressing room, know who Tuca is. They expect this from Tuca, and they almost treat him as if he's on an island. So I don't think it's going to affect this team's play, and I don't think it's going to affect Tuca's play.
Do we know it doesn't bother anyone?
No, we don't, but they've been able to get through it, right? I mean, this is a team that's won a cup. This is a team that got to Game 7 of Stanley Cup Final last year and should have won that game, outplayed them in the first period, and we all know what happened. So, you know, this team was the best team in hockey this year. So if Tuca was such the people that, again, the caller last segment, oh, well, Cam Neely must be going crazy. Well, if we think Cam is that strong of a personality and he's going to do – don't you think if Cam believed this guy was getting in the way of this team's best hockey, he would do something about it? The fact that he's not doing anything about it, doesn't that tell us that the guys in the dressing room understand who their goalie is?
But that doesn't mean it's ideal. It's just because he's a good goalie
again,
and it'll
Andy,
be hard to replace.
But you're
saying he should move on from Tuca. No one said Tuca's not a good goalie.
Hold on. I didn't say he should move on from Tuca. I said he'd be handling Tuca differently. That doesn't mean release him or trade him. That means maybe he'd sit Tuca down and say, hey, how about you not say that? How about you shut your mouth?
Do we know that hasn't happened or won't happen?
Well, if it has happened and Tuca's out there doing what he's doing, then that's a huge issue, right? And I think we'd hear about it. I think it'd be reported on. I think maybe we'd hear some kind of semblance that this team really doesn't like Tuca or management is upset with Tuca.
I know we've got to get a break in.
The breaks are getting in the way, Dale.
Well, I'm sorry. We have bills to pay so that they can pay you and pay Nick and pay...
Wait,
the guys
paid?
Behind the glass and all that stuff. 617-779-7937. Dale and Keith with Hart and Cattle Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.